Part 3, Chapter 2. William Shakespeare. Sonnet 55. Not marble, nor the gilded monuments of princes shall outlive this powerful rhyme, but you shall shine more bright in these contents than unswept stone, besmeared with sluttish time. When wasteful war shall statues overturn, and broils root out the work of masonry, nor Mars his sword, nor war's quick fire shall burn the living record of your memory. 'Gainst death and all oblivious enmity shall you pace forth. Your praise shall still find room, even in the eyes of all posterity, that wear this world out to the ending doom, so till the judgment that yourself arise, you live in this, and dwell in lovers' eyes. William Wordsworth. The world is too much with us. The world is too much with us, late and soon, getting and spending, we lay waste our powers. Little we see in nature that is ours, we have given our hearts away, a sordid boon. This sea that bears her bosom to the moon, the winds that will be howling at all hours, and are upgathered now like sleeping flowers. For this, for everything, we are out of tune. It moves us not. Great God, I'd rather be a pagan suckled in a creed outworn, so might I, standing on this pleasant lea, have glimpses that would make me less forlorn, have sight of Proteus rising from the sea, or hear old Triton blow his wreathed horn. John Keats. On the Grasshopper and the Cricket. The poetry of earth is never dead. When all the birds are faint with the hot sun, and hide in cooling trees, a voice will run from hedge to hedge about the new-mown mead. That is the grasshopper's. He takes the lead in summer luxury. He has never done with his delights. For when tired out with fun, he rests at ease beneath some pleasant weed. The poetry of earth is ceasing never. On a lone winter evening, when the frost has wrought a silence, from the stove there shrills the cricket's song, in warmth increasing ever, and seems to one in drowsiness half lost, the grasshoppers among some grassy hills. Percy Bysshe Shelley, Ode to the West Wind. O wild west wind, thou breath of autumn's being, thou from whose unseen presence the leaves dead are driven, like ghosts from an enchanter fleeing. Yellow and black and pale and hectic red, pestilence-stricken multitudes, O thou who charioteest to their dark wintry bed, the winged seeds where they lie cold and low, each like a corpse within its grave, until thine azure sister of the spring shall blow her clarion o'er the dreaming earth, and fill, driving sweet buds like flocks to feed in air, with living hues and odors plain and hill. Wild spirit which art moving everywhere, destroyer and preserver, here, O here. Thou on whose stream, mid the steep sky's commotion, loose clouds like earth's decaying leaves are shed, shook from the tangled boughs of heaven and ocean, angels of rain and lightning, there are spread on the blue surface of thine airy surge, like the bright hair uplifted from the head of some fierce maenad, even from the dim verge of the horizon to the zenith's height, the locks of the approaching storm. Thou dirge of the dying year, to which this closing night will be the dome of a vast sepulchre, vaulted with all thy congregated might, of vapors from whose solid atmosphere black rain and fire and hail will burst. O hear! Thou who didst waken from his summer dreams the blue Mediterranean where he lay, lulled by the coil of his crystalline streams, beside a pumice isle in Baiae's bay, and saw in sleep old palaces and towers quivering within the waves' intenser day. All overgrown with azure moss and flowers, so sweet the sense faints picturing them, though for whose path the Atlantic's level powers cleave themselves into chasms, while far below the sea blooms and the oozy woods which wear the sapless foliage of the ocean know thy voice, and suddenly grow gray with fear, and tremble and despoil themselves. O hear! If I were a dead leaf thou mightest bear, if I were a swift cloud to fly with thee, a wave to pant beneath thy power, and share the impulse of thy strength, only less free than thou, O uncontrollable! If even I were as in my boyhood, and could be the comrade of thy wanderings over heaven, as then, when to outstrip thy ski speed scarce seemed vision, I would ne'er have striven as thus with thee in prayer in my sore need. O, lift me as a wave, a leaf, a cloud. I fall upon the thorns of life. I bleed. A heavy weight of hours has chained and bowed one too like thee, tameless and swift and proud. Make me thy lyre, even as the forest is. What if my leaves are falling like its own? The tumult of thy mighty harmonies will take from both a deep autumnal tone, sweet though in sadness. Be thou spirit fierce, my spirit, be thou me, impetuous one. Drive my dead thoughts over the universe, like withered leaves to quicken a new birth, and by the incantation of this verse, scatter as from an unextinguished hearth, ashes and sparks, my words upon mankind. Be through my lips to unawakened earth the trumpet of a prophecy. O wind, if winter comes, can spring be far behind? John Keats, Ode on a Grecian Urn. Thou still unravished bride of quietness, thou foster child of silence and slow time, sylvan historian, who canst thus express a flowery tale more sweetly than our rhyme, what leaf-fringed legend haunts about thy shape, of deities or mortals, or of both, in Tempe or the dales of Arcady? What men or gods are these? What maidens loath? What mad pursuit, what struggle to escape, what pipes and timbrels, what wild ecstasy. Heard melodies are sweet, but those unheard are sweeter. Therefore, ye soft pipes, play on, not to the sensual ear, but, more endeared, pipe to the spirit ditties of no tone. Fair youth, beneath the trees, thou canst not leave thy song, nor ever can those trees be bare. Bold lover, never, never canst thou kiss, though winning near the goal, yet do not grieve. She cannot fade, though thou hast not thy bliss. Forever wilt thou love, and she be fair. Ah, happy, happy boughs that cannot shed your leaves, nor ever bid the spring adieu! And happy melodist, unwearied, forever piping songs, forever new! More happy love, more happy, happy love! Forever warm and still to be enjoyed, forever panting and forever young, all breathing human passion far above, that leaves a heart high sorrowful and cloyed, a burning forehead and a parching tongue. Who are these coming to the sacrifice? To what green altar, O mysterious priest, leadst thou that heifer lowing at the skies, and all her silken flanks with garlands dressed? What little town by river or seashore, or mountain built with peaceful citadel, is emptied of this folk, this pious morn? And little town, thy streets forevermore will silent be, and not a soul to tell why thou art desolate can e'er return. O Attic shape, fair attitude, with breed of marble men and maidens overwrought, with forest branches and the trodden weed, thou silent form dost tease us out of thought, as doth eternity. Cold pastoral, when old age shall this generation waste, thou shalt remain, in midst of other woe than ours, a friend to man, to whom thou sayest, beauty is truth, truth beauty. That is all ye know on earth, and all ye need to know. John Donne. Song. Go and catch a falling star, get with child a mandrake root, tell me where all past years are, or who cleft the devil's foot. Teach me to hear mermaids singing, or to keep off envy's stinging, and find what wind serves to advance an honest mind. If thou be'st born to strange sights, things invisible to see, ride 10,000 days and nights, till age snow white hairs on thee. Thou, when thou return'st, wilt tell me all strange wonders that befell thee, and swear nowhere lives a woman true and fair. If thou find'st one, let me know, such a pilgrimage were sweet. Yet do not, I would not go, though at next door we might meet. Though she were true when you met her, and last till you write your letter, yet she will be false ere I come to two or three. Ben Jonson. Song. To Celia. Drink to me only with thine eyes, and I will pledge with mine, or leave a kiss but in the cup, and I'll not look for wine. The thirst that from the soul doth rise doth ask a drink divine, but might I of Jove's nectar sup, I would not change for thine. I sent thee late a rosy wreath, not so much honouring thee as giving it a hope that there it could not withered be, but thou thereon didst only breathe, and sent'st it back to me. Since when it grows and smells, I swear, not of itself, but thee. Robert Burns. Auld Lang Syne. Should old acquaintance be forgot, and never brought to mind, should old acquaintance be forgot, and days auld lang syne. For auld lang syne, my dear, for auld lang syne, we'll take a cup o' kindness yet for auld lang syne. We twa ha' run about the brass, and pu'd the goin' fine, but we've wandered mony a weary foot sin auld lang syne. We twa ha' paddled i' the burn from morning sun till dine, but seas between us bred ha' roared sin auld lang syne. And there's a hand, my trusty fear, and gie's a hand o' thine, and we'll tak a right good willy wat for auld lang syne. And surely you'll be your pint stoup, and surely I'll be mine, and we'll tak a cup o' kindness yet for auld lang syne. John Milton, Lycidas. In this monody, the author bewails a learned friend, unfortunately drowned in his passage from Chester on the Irish Seas, 1637, and by occasion foretells the ruin of our corrupted clergy, then in air height. Excerpt. Yet once more, O ye laurels, and once more, ye myrtles brown, with ivy never sear, I come to pluck your berries harsh and crude, and with forced fingers rude, shatter your leaves before the mellowing year. Bitter constraint and sad occasion dear compels me to disturb your season due, for Lycidas is dead, dead ere his prime. Young Lycidas, and hath not left his peer. Who would not sing for Lycidas? He knew himself to sing, and build the lofty rhyme. He must not float upon his watery bier, unwept and welter to the parching wind, without the meed of some melodious tear. Begin, then, sisters of the sacred well, that from beneath the seat of Jove doth spring. Begin, and somewhat loudly sweep the string. Hence with denial vain and coy excuse, so may some gentle muse with lucky words favor my destined urn. And as he passes turn, and bid fair peace be to my sable shroud, for we were nursed upon the self-same hill, fed the same flock by fountain, shade, and rill, together both, ere the high lawns appeared, under the opening eyelids of the morn, we drove afield, and both together heard, what time the grey fly winds her sultry horn. Battening our flocks with the fresh dews of night, oft till the star that rose at evening bright, toward heaven's descent had sloped his westering wheel. Meanwhile the rural ditties were not mute, tempered to the oaten flute. Rough satyrs danced, and fawns with cloven heel, from the glad sound would not be absent long, and old Damoetes loved hear our song. Thomas Gray. Elegy written in a country churchyard. The curfew tolls the knell of parting day, the lowing herd winds slowly o'er the lea, the ploughman homeward plods his weary way, and leaves the world to darkness and to me. Now fades the glimmering landscape on the sight, and all the air a solemn stillness holds, save where the beetle wheels his droning flight, and drowsy tinklings lull the distant folds. Save that from yonder ivy-mantled tower, the moping owl does to the moon complain of such as wandering near her secret bower, molest her ancient solitary reign. beneath those rugged elms that yew trees shade, where heaves the turf in many a mouldering heap. Each in his narrow cell forever laid, the rude forefathers of the hamlet sleep. The breezy call of incense-breathing morn, the swallow twittering from the straw-built shed, the cock's shrill clarion, or the echoing horn, no more shall rouse them from their lowly bed. For them no more the blazing hearth shall burn, or busy housewife ply her evening care. No children run to lisp their sire's return, or climb his knees the envied kiss to share. Oft did the harvest to their sickle yield, their furrow oft the stubborn glebe has broke. How jocund did they drive their team afield, how bowed the woods beneath their sturdy stroke! Let not ambition mock their useful toil, their homely joys and destiny obscure, nor grandeur hear with a disdainful smile the short and simple annals of the poor. The boast of heraldry, the pomp of power, and all that beauty, all that wealth e'er gave, awaits alike the inevitable hour. The paths of glory lead but to the grave. Nor you, ye proud, impute to these the fault, if memory o'er their tomb no trophies raise, where through the long-drawn aisle and fretted vault the pealing anthem swells the note of praise. Can storied urn or animated bust back to its mansion call the fleeting breath? Can honor's voice provoke the silent dust, or flattery soothe the dull, cold ear of death? Perhaps in this neglected spot is laid some heart once pregnant with celestial fire, hands that the rod of empire might have swayed, or waked to ecstasy the living lyre. But knowledge to their eyes her ample page, rich with the spoils of time, did ne'er unroll. Chill penury repressed their noble rage, and froze the genial current of the soul. Full many a gem of purest ray serene, the dark, unfathomed caves of ocean bear, full many a flower is born to blush unseen, and waste its sweetness on the desert air. Some village Hampton, that with dauntless breast the little tyrant of his field withstood, some mute, inglorious Milton here may rest, some Cromwell guiltless of his country's blood. The applause of listening senates to command, the threats of pain and ruin to despise, to scatter plenty o'er a smiling land, and read their history in a nation's eyes. Their lot forbade, nor circumscribed alone, their growing virtues, but their crimes confined, forbade to wade through slaughter to a throne, and shut the gates of mercy on mankind. The struggling pangs of conscious truth to hide, to quench the blushes of ingenuous shame, or heap the shrine of luxury and pride with incense kindled at the muse's flame. Far from the madding crowd's ignoble strife, their sober wishes never learn to stray. Along the cool sequestered vale of life, they kept the noiseless tenor of their way. Yet even these bones from insult to protect, some frail memorial still erected nigh, with uncouth rhymes and shapeless sculpture decked, implores the passing tribute of a sigh. Their name, their years, spelt by the unlettered muse, the place of fame and elegy supply, and many a holy text around she strews, that teach the rustic moralist to die. For who to dumb forgetfulness a prey, this pleasing anxious being o'er-resigned, left the warm precincts of the cheerful day, nor cast one longing, lingering look behind. On some fond breast the parting soul relies, some pious drops the closing eye requires, Even from the tomb, the voice of nature cries, even in our ashes live their wonted fires. For thee, who mindful of the unhonored dead, dost in these lines their artless tale relate, if chance, by lonely contemplation led, some kindred spirit shall inquire thy fate. Haply some hoary-headed swain may say, oft have we seen him at the peep of dawn, brushing with hasty steps the dews away to meet the sun upon the upland lawn. There at the foot of yonder nodding beech that wreathes its old fantastic roots so high, his listless length at noontide would he stretch and pour upon the brook that babbles by. Hard by yon wood, now smiling as in scorn, muttering his wayward fancies he would rove, now drooping, woeful wan, like one forlorn, or crazed with care, or crossed in hopeless love. One morn I missed him on the customed hill, along the heath and near his favorite tree. Another came, nor yet beside the rill, nor up the lawn, nor at the wood was he. The next with dirges due in sad array, slow through the churchway path we saw him borne. Approach and read, for thou canst read the lay, graved on the stone beneath yon aged thorn. The Epitaph. Here rests his head upon the lap of earth, a youth to fortune and to fame unknown. Fair science frowned not on his humble birth, and melancholy marked him for her own. Large was his bounty, and his soul sincere. Heaven did a recompense as largely send. He gave to misery all he had, a tear. He gained from heaven, 'twas all he wished, a friend. No farther seek his merits to disclose, or draw his frailties from their dread abode. There they alike in trembling hope repose, the bosom of his Father and his God. Percy Bysshe Shelley, Adonis. An Elegy on the Death of John Keats, author of Endymion, Hyperion, etc. Thou wert the morning star among the living, ere thy fair light had fled. Now, having died, thou art as Hesperus, giving new splendor to the dead. Excerpt. I weep for Adonis. He's dead. Oh, weep for Adonis, though our tears thaw not the frost which binds so dear a head. And thou, sad hour, selected from all years to mourn our loss, rouse thy obscure compeers, and teach them thine own sorrow, say, with me died Adonis, till the future dares forget the past. His fate and fame shall be an echo and a light unto eternity. Where wert thou, mighty mother, when he lay, when thy son lay, pierced by the shaft which flies in darkness? Where was lorn Urania when Adonis died, with veiled eyes, mid listening echoes, in her paradise she sate, while one, with soft enamored breath, rekindled all the fading melodies, with which, like flowers that mock the course beneath, he had adorned and hid the coming bulk of death. Oh, weep for Adonis, he is dead. Wake, melancholy mother, wake and weep. Yet wherefore, quench within their burning bed thy fiery tears, and let thy loud heart keep, like his, a mute and uncomplaining sleep. For he is gone, where all things wise and fair descend. Oh, dream not that the amorous deep will yet restore him to the vital air. Death feeds on his mute voice, and laughs at our despair. William Shakespeare, Full Fathom Five. Full fathom five thy father lies, of his bones are coral made, those are pearls that were his eyes, nothing of him that doth fade, but doth suffer a sea change into something rich and strange. Sea nymphs hourly ring his knell. Ding dong. Hark, now I hear them. Ding dong bell. Percy Bysshe Shelley, A Dirge. Rough wind, that moanest loud, grief too sad for song, wild wind, when sullen cloud knells all the night long, sad storms, whose tears are vain, bare woods, whose branches strain, deep caves and dreary main, wail for the world's wrong. John Donne, The Sun Rising. Busy old fool, unruly sun, why dost thou thus, through windows and through curtains, call on us? Must to thy motions lovers' seasons run? Saucy pedantic wretch, go chide late schoolboys and sour prentices. Go tell court huntsmen that the king will ride. Call country ants to harvest offices. Love, all alike, no season knows nor clime, nor hours, days, months, which are the rags of time. Thy beams, so reverend and strong, why shouldst thou think? I could eclipse and cloud them with a wink, but that I would not lose her sight so long, if her eyes have not blinded thine. Look! And tomorrow late, tell me, whether both the Indias of spice and mine be where thou left'st them, or lie here with me. Ask for those kings whom thou saw'st yesterday, and thou shalt hear, all here in one bed lay. She is all states and all princes, I, nothing else is. Princes do but play us. Compared to this, all honors mimic, all wealth alchemy. Thou, son, art half as happy as we, in that the world's contracted thus. Thine age asks ease, and since thy duties be to warm the world that's done in warming us, shine here to us, and thou art everywhere. This bed thy center is, these walls thy sphere. Robert Browning, Parting at Morning. Round the cape of a sudden came the sea, and the sun looked over the mountain's rim. And straight was a path of gold for him, and the need of a world of men for me. Christopher Marlowe, The Passionate Shepherd to His Love. Come live with me and be my love, and we will all the pleasures prove that valleys, groves, hills, and fields, woods or steepy mountain yields. And we will sit upon the rocks, seeing the shepherds feed their flocks by shallow rivers to whose falls melodious birds sing madrigals. And I will make thee beds of roses, and a thousand fragrant posies, a cap of flowers, and a kirtle embroidered all with leaves of myrtle. A gown made of the finest wool, which from our pretty lambs we pull, fair lined slippers for the cold, with buckles of the purest gold. A belt of straw and ivy buds, with coral clasps and amber studs. And if these pleasures may thee move, come live with me and be my love. Thy silver dishes for thy meat, as precious as the gods do eat, shall on an ivory table be, prepared each day for thee and me. The shepherd's swains shall dance and sing for thy delight each May morning. If these delights thy mind may move, then live with me and be my love. William Wordsworth, Michael, a pastoral poem, excerpt. Upon the forest side in Grasmere Vale there dwelt a shepherd, Michael was his name, an old man, stout of heart and strong of limb. His bodily frame had been from youth to age of an unusual strength. His mind was keen, intense, and frugal, apt for all affairs. And in his shepherd's calling he was prompt and watchful more than ordinary men. Hence had he learned the meaning of all winds, of blasts of every tone, and oftentimes when others heeded not, he heard the south make subterraneous music, like the noise of bagpipers on distant highland hills. The shepherd, at such warning, of his flock bethought him, and he to himself would say, "The winds are now devising work for me," and truly at all times the storm that drives the traveller to a shelter summoned him up to the mountains. He had been alone amid the heart of many thousand mists that came to him and left him on the heights. So lived he till his 80th year was past, and grossly that man errs who should suppose that the green valleys and the streams and rocks were things indifferent to the shepherd's thoughts. Fields where with cheerful spirits he had breathed the common air, hills which with vigorous step he had so often climbed, which had impressed so many incidents upon his mind, of hardship, skill or courage, joy or fear, which like a book preserved the memory of the dumb animals whom he had saved, had fed or sheltered, linking to such acts the certainty of honorable gain. Those fields, those hills, what could they less, had laid strong hold on his affections were to him a pleasurable feeling of blind love, the pleasure which there is in life itself.
Tingli Kutang, TingClass.com